It's now time for America's favorite radio program, the David Williams Radio Affliction. Sitting in for David Williams, your host, Peter Clegg.
I'm sure that we can handle this situation maturely. Isn't that right, Mr. Poopy Pants?
With sports and other useless information, Richard Harrington.
You have a really good sense of humor.
And you have really great...
Woohoo! And with the news, Matt Kendall.
I'm talking!
Don't bother me. Now here's your host and modulator of the David Williams Radio Affliction. Peter Clay.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the Radio Affliction. I am indeed Peter Clay, and it is a privilege to bring this show to you, so you can listen to it any way you wish to, whether your browser, your MP3 player, you can download it, so you can burn it to a CD and listen to it in your car, or your portable CD player, or whatever you want to do. The choice is yours. I'm just glad that you're here and stop by and hope that you'll continue to do so for the future episodes. I suppose some sort of introduction is in order since it's the first one in a long time. The Radio Affliction probably stopped broadcasting about 5 years ago, which we used to do on a website. And as of right now, the show is probably an extension of the Radio Affliction blog located at radioaffliction.blogspot.com. It's probably meant to be the other way around, but that's life. Okay, after I left a radio station in San Francisco, I moved back to my hometown in Madison, Wisconsin, and I shared an apartment with a couple of friends of mine who were just introduced to you in the opening there. Okay, one was a friend, and Matt was just Matt. It's okay, Matt's a good guy, really. I really like Matt a lot. Anyway, I had all this equipment and all this music, and I made little radio shows in the apartment there, and the other guys would pitch in and help out, and... Then one thing led to another, and the other guy was, yeah, I want to make this show for my girlfriend. And then so we started doing these radio shows, and then feedback would come back from the shows. Oh, I loved your show, and you played that song. Oh, can you play this song? Can you make another tape? And so on and so forth. And as time went on, I suppose we matured or something or other. Or maybe we just had enough playing music. We just would sit and talk. And little subjects would come up, and we'd still give them to people. And they would say, yeah, I remember when you talked about that, but I have a question about this. So one thing led to another. It became the Radio Affliction. And it became the David Williams Radio Affliction because there was never really one, it was never really about one person. So we just kind of named it, and then other things would join in. We moved apart. And so maybe Matt would just come in every now and then do the news. Rick would do weather forecasts over the telephone and different things. And so it became a collage. And it really, really became a part about the feedback, and that would became the material. And you know, I'd start the show like I'm doing now with a little introduction, how's everyone going, and then I'd go into topics and the news that I had saw that piqued my interest. Since everyone kind of knew what the news was, even knew what the rest of the story was, I just found little stories that were kind of missed, and it became the news you didn't know you needed to know. And sometimes it's some of that silly stuff. Sometimes it's important, and it would become a topic for the show for people to comment on. And that's what this is going to be about. The show is at your disposal, and it really works when other people participate. And I will bring other people on the show, but it also, your comments are always welcome, and I would appreciate it greatly. There's a couple ways you can get in touch with the program. That is through the comment section at the blog, like I said before, radioaffliction.blogspot.com. You can email at radioaffliction@gmail.com. And not only just email, then, if you have you want to be on the show, you can like voicemail or a question. Like record it as an MP3 and attach it to an email. No silly attachments, please. And no Viagra ads linked in, too, please. That would be great. But anyway, yeah, if you want to have a question, record it as an MP3, email it, because Gmail has so much space. I'll put it on the show. We'll talk about it. Other ways you can get it, Skype, Radio Affliction is the code name there. I'm not on that all the time. I do that for interviews. But hey, if you have a blog, again, an actual blog that you want to promote, you want me to talk about it, let me know. Email me and we can schedule something out. So let's go right into the news you didn't know you needed to know. And then we'll get into the Radio Affliction as if it never left. Get this. What some people will do for attention, I'm not sure, but then again, you wouldn't need to do this if they wouldn't publish these things or broadcast them. A New York man is in the Guinness Book of World Records in a new entry for the longest eyebrow hair. Now, this piqued my interest because I was criticized for my eyebrow hair from a previous girlfriend. And I don't think anything, 3.78 inches is now the new record, nearly 8 centimeters. I don't think I had anything over 2 inches. I mean, I could try now that there's a Guinness Records entry for it. Frank Ames of New York. I don't know why it grows like that. It always has. How do you get in touch with something like that? I don't know. Looks like he's made it. Manilow Jewelry is now available. Yes, Barry Manilow is introducing a line of jewelry he's simply calling the M Jewelry Line. So if you need something for that weekend in New England, you know, or if you're just trying to get the feeling again, or you're just ready to take a chance again, yes, find what you're looking for with the M Jewelry Line. It's a miracle. Anyway, you can get that on his website at manilow.com. I have that listed on the blog. There's also another website you can check there that has other Manilow things, like a Manilow bobblehead doll. And it's really cool because he keeps bobbling because of his nose. Anyway, so that's the news you didn't know you needed to know. Like again, once again, I'd like to thank you for checking out the Radio Affliction. I don't have an interview segment. That would be coming up next. I'm going to take a quick break, but when I come back, I'm going to give you a little sample of what we used to do, and we'll have a segment with me and Rick Harrington on the old Radio Affliction. So stay tuned to us here on the Radio Affliction.
Good morning, Madison. I'm Scott Adams.
Good morning. I'm Gil DeYoung.
On the next Good Morning Madison, we'll show you how spider webs can make a good sponge.
And we get to spice up your cake with salsa.
Ooh. Ooh. First, let's take a look at the First Look weather with Rick Harrington.
And I'm Rick Harrington with our first look at the weather for the day. As you can see, it's going to be a goddamn cold day! It's freezing! Don't put your tongue on any metal! Let me know later! Let me in!
Oh, Rick. Oh, goodness.
He's such a
kid. Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll have the five-day weather forecast and the traffic updates on the next Good Morning Madison. Good morning!
You're listening to the David Williams Radio Affliction. You're back here on the David Williams Radio Affliction with me, Peter Clay, and Richard Harrington's over there.
Right here.
Thumbing through his paperwork there. Not prepared as usual, but that's okay.
We got a little problem over here.
That's okay. What exactly is the problem over there?
We don't know. Just I've been out of the shop so long here that all my stuff is messed up.
You sound so much better when you're talking to the mic. I don't know why.
You like that? You like when I get right into the mic? I like to turn away, though, sometimes. And
I understand. You like to see what's going on because sure. There's lots of things going on
lots
in the studio.
Of things. Yep.
We won't mention anything about the cute, you know, secretaries we got here.
Hey. Look out. Look out.
What else is going on? Have you heard anything new and exciting in the news world? I mean, I haven't really been paying attention to anything. I guess there's some sort of a government overthrow in Pakistan, I guess.
A little bit of that. They're running out of lima beans in Iran.
Really? What would you do if you ran out of lima beans? What would you?
I don't eat lima beans, so it really doesn't matter to me.
Why not?
I think we should just try to convert all the lima beans in the world to like fuel and just burn it up in our cars.
Really? No, seriously, you don't like lima beans?
No, I don't.
Why not? What's wrong with them?
They're just gross. They look like little kidneys. I eat one, and I think I'm eating like a frog kidney or something.
Well, I'm not saying you should eat them plain, but what is that, succotash when you mix it with corn? So I'm
I don't
not
know.
Seeing a problem here with lima beans.
I don't know, Chef like, Pierre. We'll just
especially
check
if you, you know, put some butter and some salt and pepper and some seasonings. I think they're pretty darn good.
This is cooking with Peter Clay, or what's going on?
I don't know.
For heaven's sakes.
Anyway.
It takes 20 years to build a reputation and 5 minutes to ruin it. Thank you.
Okay.
I read that somewhere. In fact, it took 20 years for us to build our reputation, and in the last 5 minutes, we've ruined it. I guess that's pretty much what we could say. That's.
I have no idea what Rick is talking about. I was only on the
now,
show.
Now, does this sound like a fortune cookie? Okay. Truth has to fall on fertile soil. That's from Paula D'Arcy, Gift of the Red Bird. Crossroads is the editor of that. What in the world is that all about?
I don't know. Anyway. Well, say it one more time just so you...
Truth has to fall on fertile soil.
Okay. I guess let's try and break this down here just for a second here because we got, like, what, 35 seconds here before we got to take a break?
truth has to fall. So if you, you pull out the truth, then it can go on the soil where it can multiply and not just land on just like dead space.
Or it could fertile soil, meaning that you need fertilization, which would be poop.
So if we could take manure and
put it on the soil to make it fertilization, truth is that it stinks, I guess.
Once again, so Rick reads way in between the lines there. In Bogota, Colombia, where this comes from, a Colombian couple's golden wedding anniversary was tarnished when their daughter packed their suitcases for a celebration family holiday in Miami with $370,000 worth of heroin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's almost as good as the story that I read a few weeks back where the couple vacationing, I think it was in Aruba.
Yeah.
And they came back to the room had been broken into, and nothing was missing, oddly enough. So they spent the rest of their week there, had a nice time. They got back home and developed their pictures, and in one of the pictures they found one of the maids, it was a guy maid that had cleaned their room, had their toothbrushes stuck out of his rectum, out of his butt.
Rectum? It nearly killed him.
I knew you were going to do that, but stick out of his butt, and they had been brushing their teeth with these toothbrushes the rest of the week.
Thank you for sharing
that. Isn't that evil?
But that's anyway, true story, so. The daughter had packed this then, and so the daughter, her son, a brother, and his daughter were all arrested at Bogota's El Dorado Airport. Now, get this, though. The anniversary couple were not detained. This is the reason. We didn't want to arrest the two old folks for humanitarian reasons. Let's hear it.
That's nice.
That's beautiful.
That's a beautiful thing. What was their anniversary, for God's sake?
How the now, what would you do in that? Would you go on the trip anyway, then? Say, well, you guys have fun in jail. We're going to Miami.
I would. I'd say, screw it. We're out of here. I mean, that's just the way it is. If my kids did that to me, that would be the last thing they ever did.
Colombia supplies an estimated 80% of the world's cocaine. And they're slacking a little bit on the heroin. They only supply 2/3.
Well, get with it.
I know. So
get with
it. So that was a little something I
found. They also
send
us our coffee. I wonder why that coffee may be kind of squirrely.
Oh, absolutely. It's a good time. One more little thing here, and then we'll hit your spots here. And
which spots would those be?
I don't know.
We've got there's ladies out there going, ooh.
Hello.
Pete wants to touch my spot.
Okay. Your commercials here, okay? So we'll talk to you. This comes out of California, and this doesn't surprise me at all, that an animal rights group would be angry in California. Go figure. An angry animal rights group demanded on Tuesday that criminal charges be pressed against a promoter of a wrestling match between a man and a bear, saying it was cruel to the bear, even though the man was soundly beaten.
Well, yeah, the bear probably took a big chunk out of his ass. I mean, how could he do that?
This is yet another example of human rights attempting to profit at the expense of animals, and wild animals should be left in the wild, said a founder of the Orange County People for Animals. Let's see. The guy weighed 290 pounds. The bear weighed 800 pounds. And the bear's named Dakota, by the way. That's pretty cool.
That is a cool name.
Said that people should not feel sorry for the bear, because the promoter said Dakota beat the crap out of him and loved it.
Huh.
So.
That's nice.
This was done at the...
maybe we could do a promo where you wrestle a bear or something.
Whatever.
Or a cobra, snake or something. Or
I don't claim to be the strongest person in the whole wide world here, so it's that...
I'd like to see you do a couple rounds with a bear. How about Tyson? Mike Tyson.
I'd like to see Tyson. It would be any more interesting than, did you see this last fight here?
Yeah, the one rounder where he punched the guy at the bell. I think that was kind of
my knee hurts. So, anyway.
And it wasn't Tyson's knee. It was the other guy's knee.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
That drove me nuts.
And
they're holding up his $8 million, too. His $8 million purse.
Tyson or the other guy?
Tyson. The other guy only got $600,000, cleared $200,000 after he paid off his creditors. So.
Cool. So, anyway, why don't we, what you got to say over there? Do you have anything to say over there?
I've got nothing to say, no.
Oh, okay, cool. I've had a good time today, actually. I mean, other than having to deal with you in the studio, that's...
Yeah, you loved every minute of it.
Whatever.
I think we're going to fly to Columbia and, pick up some drugs next day to the show. So,
to Miami and see if that couple is having a good time.
I'm sure they are. They're probably not even worrying about those snot-nosed kids that pack their drugs in their underwear drawer, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's an incredible thing. Radio Affliction.
This interstate behind me is the fourth major road construction in Wisconsin in the last 5 years. And it's... I'm doing a report.
Can I borrow that microphone just for a second?
I'm doing a report.
I just for 1 second.
Okay.
And this home behind me is the home of Gordon Elliott. And as you can see, it's been built around for the past several years and now building up with lots of stores and different kind of strip malls. What?
Okay,
I'm doing a report right now.
I know, but
I'm right in the
doing
middle. I'm right in the middle of a report. Okay. And the strip malls are going up, and as you can see, it's really getting to be...
this highway over here was constructed using the latest concrete things.
And as you can see, the strip malls, as I said, are taking over the whole nation here, and they're really kind of...
Give me that back! Hey, come on, give me that back!
And with the highway patrol then being done, go away! Now, give me that... Go away! The bridge construction was done...
And the rest of the houses, as you can see, have been leveled and raised to make room for more strip malls. And get back, get back.
This is the David Williams Radio Affliction.
Welcome back to the Radio Affliction. I am still Peter Clay. And I'd like to raise the intellectual level here just a little bit. At least my intellectual level. I can't speak for anyone else. But there's been a little subject here that's been kind of on my mind for a long time. And I finally wrote about it on the blog not too long ago. And I'm not quite sure if I really got what I wanted to say. And this is what, kind of like what I like about the Radio Affliction is that I kind of want this to be a positive place to go. If you look at a lot of other blogs, there's a lot of people who are ranting. There's a lot of people who are complaining. And that, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, whatever saves you $50 on the couch or keeps you from... you know, blowing somebody else away, I'm in favor of that. So let it all out. But for the rest of us, I think, you know, there needs to be, you know, some positive things to think about. And this is one of the things that's been on my mind, and I'd like to see what you think about it. And it finally motivated me to write about this when I saw another website called Chris vs. Chris. And I put a link on their website on the blog. I have a little thing here. When I say show notes, that would be just, you know, when you go to listen to this program, it will be in the comments section for on that. So on Chris vs. Chris, they on their thought of the day was the question, is it okay to lie to your mate? Never really a right answer to that in case you, unless you want to get in trouble. So it's a loaded question and certainly a good dinner time debate because it really has more theories than answers. So if you went into their site and you saw other things that they wrote about and how other people, you know, put in there, they're, you know, it's really just their opinion based on what they think, you know, whether someone's honest or not. And that's a whole different subject. So is it the truth? You know, who's really to say? Now, should you lie to your mate? Well, first off, lying has negative connotations. You know, there's one thing you can try is simply tell the truth, but from a certain point of view, your point of view, you know, be creative. Because if you really think about it, you can justify just about anything, you know, if depending on how you view it. So let's take a look at some of the bloggers out there. As I said before, you know, there's a lot of people who rant. But if you take a look at some of these other things that's under the political bloggers, all right, the left-wingers think that the whole world's problems are coming from the white-wingers. I saw this quote, and I see it actually quite a bit. You know, just when you think the GOP couldn't get any slimier, well, here's this. And on the other hand, the white-wingers then think all the world's problems come from the left-wingers. Kind of go back and forth, you know, about whether or not you should, you know, worry about such things. But so who's telling the truth? Are they? One of the problems that comes in to things like this, when you have someone who's entrenched on one side, they're going to say what they think. And then you have someone who's entrenched on the other side, they automatically is going to think the other person's wrong. So when you go back and forth like that, whether or not they're telling the truth, they're telling it, again, from their point of view. Chances are, in those type of debates, they're both wrong, but that's, again, another point. So let's take a look at some other things that we kind of use to put the truth in our corner type of thing. This one's a little personal for me. All right, I think the Green Bay Packers are the best football team to watch in the NFL. Now, not only do they have players and talent that are fun to watch, they have history. They are the only founding team to still be in their original city, with a little bit of an asterisk in there. For their first 75 years, they played a third of their home games in Milwaukee. And the Cardinals and the Bears are technically older, but the Cardinals started out in Chicago, and the Bears were the Decatur Staleys. Woo-hoo. And they're proud of that, too, right? When if you can get through the fog burning from the ADM plant down there. Now, if you also look at the Packers, even the way their organization is set up, they are an underdog to the other franchises, and that makes them kind of special, and because of that, they sell out just about everywhere they play. They get 70,000 people for a scrimmage. They sell out their preseason games, and when they're on the road, you can't help but find somebody who's wearing a hunk of cheese on their head, you know? They can have a neutral site game in South Dakota, and it'll sell out. Now, is that the truth? Well, it's the truth as I see it, for the reasons that I've explained. God help them, but there are people who actually like the Vikings. And they'll probably disagree with what I just said. And they'll either give me their truth, or just say what I said was my opinion. Now, that's one way of stretching the truth around here. Here's a fictional example. Obi-Wan Kenobi, he was Ben at the time, as we knew him, was asked a direct question from Luke Skywalker. How did my father die? Now, you can check out the Chris versus Chris post about whether or not to lie in this situation. Now, you can be brave and tell the whole truth, the complete truth, the factual thing. And you'd kind of expect that from a Jedi, wouldn't you? But you have to remember, though, that Luke has been isolated from the goings-on in the universe at this time. So Ben could have said, all right, son, look, your father was the chosen one to bring balance to the Force. But something went wrong, and he turned to be one of the most evil people in the universe. And he helped kill all the Jedi, and your mother for that matter. And in order for that prophecy to come true, I need to train you as a Jedi so you can kill him and his master and bring the Force back into balance. Now, how would you react to such a thing? Do you think that would have worked? Obi-Wan then did what you expect an exiled Jedi to do and tell the truth from his point of view, which he admits later on. A young Jedi named Darth Vader was a pupil of mine before he turned to evil. He betrayed and murdered your father. Pretty powerful if you really think about it, because it doesn't destroy the image Luke has of his father, and it preserves any good feelings that Obi-Wan may have left of Luke's father, Anakin, before he turned into Darth Vader. Obi-Wan also doesn't have to explain a silly little thing like him almost killing Luke's father or anything like that. Now, Luke eventually finds out the real truth from Darth Vader, if you recall, and Luke is not very happy. He's actually pretty ticked. Luke gains perspective from this, and then uses that on his own to learn how to become a Jedi. And not by following in his father's footsteps, he eventually uses the truth against his father in their final battle in front of the Emperor. By not giving in to anger and hate, he becomes powerful enough to know that there is still good in his father. So when he defeats Darth Vader, he sacrifices himself in front of the Emperor so that the only one who can save him is Anakin, his father, his real father. Now, Luke couldn't have done that without knowing the real truth. But if he had learned it at the time he asked the initial question, it may have been too much for him to handle at the time. He would have gone off running off on his little speeder, crying, running back to his uncle's moisture farm, who, at that very moment, is being slaughtered by stormtroopers. So that's where kind of a case where telling it from a certain point of view has its advantages. You know, you have truth to base on. So that as you grow and you get older, more and more the truth can come out. Now that leads to my next example, and it's a touchy one. It's more of a theological example. I feel a little obligated for talking about this. I'm not sure if anyone's aware of this or knew who Dr. Gene Scott was. He was when I came across him, he was on the satellite. 24 hours a day he'd have broadcasting. He'd be talking about God and other stuff. And he was also, then when I lived in San Francisco then, he was on the off-air station overnights, and it was kind of exciting. So I would get entertainment and stuff from that and maybe learn a thing or two here and there. Anyway, he passed away a few months ago, and I wrote a thing about him on the blog, and I noticed that a young lady then had taken over his position. I thought it was his daughter, okay, because she had the same mannerisms, same last name. So, of course, thanks to the faithful bloggers on there, let me know that it was his wife. So I was a little embarrassed. I blacked out. I was just kind of hoping it was his daughter. And then also found out then that she had an AKA, and she was kind of in the adult industry at one time in her life. But thanks to that post and those people telling me that, it has zoomed my Google ratings on that. So I get hits from that all the time. So that's why I feel a little obligated by using this example. So anyway, one of the comments that I got was from a gentleman. And he had wrote this. He said, I know some of the insides of the ministry. And as my daddy said, son, you can't live your whole life on BS. So tell me, how did this ministry survive? Try by truth. Oh, here we go again. Truth. What's that? Whose truth? What is the truth? And from whose point of view? From Dr. Scott's? From yours? What? Now, I'm not going to say that Dr. Scott lied. And I'm not saying that Melissa is lying now. Actually, I kind of find it refreshing from the very few sermons that I've seen Melissa do that she brings up the topic of sin a lot. So going back in her background, you know, it's you know, go with what you know. I kind of appreciate that in a way. Like everyone else, I have questions about life, the universe, and everything. And when I first started on my little task that I was looking for, I was on the quest for the truth. Because I didn't think I was going to find it anywhere just by going to a church. Because from my point of view, a church wasn't going to be based on truth, but on faith. To them, which is their truth, but it's, you know, different to me. So the quest then has gone from the truth to the quest for knowledge. Then knowing things helps me sort out what the falses are. And then I can decide for myself what, if something is true or not. So anyway, I just feel that that's a better starting point than trying to say, oh, this is true, this is true. Trying to find out truths from so many different points of view. I come to this for, and as a thank you for the person who made that comment, and all the people who have commented, is they say, I don't know if Dr. Scott was truthful, but I do think he was knowledgeable and had a pretty good idea what the falses were. So let's kind of wrap this up here a little bit. Where are we at? So we started out with lying. Should you lie? All right, so now we have a little basis for something. So if we try to decide what is true or not, we go back to what the falses were. So if you think someone is lying to you, all right, you could call them a liar. I would suggest not. I wouldn't even necessarily call them a truthful person from a certain point of view. I would get as much knowledge as I could, find out what the falses were, and then that way I can kind of sort things out and find what the truth is then, and then call them a dirty, stinking, rotten liar. So gain knowledge. That's my point. Find out what the falses were. Just look what gaining knowledge did for Luke Skywalker. The universe is now a much better place. Now, that's just how I see it. Tell me what you think on the comments section at radioaffliction.blogspot.com. Email me at radioaffliction@gmail.com and get in touch with the program. I really appreciate you coming by, and I hope you enjoyed this version of the Radio Affliction, and we'll see you again real soon.